Dr. David O. Carpenter, director of the Institute of Health and the Environment at New York University at Albany, was a guest on this week's KSKA talk show, Line 1, Your Health Connection. He says studies show excessive cell phone and Wi-Fi use cause brain cancer.
In terms of radio frequency radiation, which is what cell phones are and Wi-Fi and cell towers and all of these things, the evidence that they cause cancer in humans is very, very strong. And it comes from multiple studies, including studies done by the World Health Organization.
Carpenter says the issue is controversial because studies using animals haven't shown the same results as in humans, and the health effects don't show up for 30 years. Plus, he says the risk is not as high as that linked to hazards such as toxins in the environment.
But it's still one that we all should be aware of, and it's so easy to take some precautions that are not life-distressing. They're so easy to do that it's stupid not to take cautions. Don't use your cell phone in a Wi-Fi environment too much. Use a wired earpiece. Use your landline.
Carpenter is the author of hundreds of peer-reviewed articles and several books on public exposure to electromagnetic fields and other topics. Another guest on the show, Pam Miller, heads Alaska Community Action on Toxics. She told Line 1 host Dr. Thad Woodard breakthroughs in neurological, genetic, and cellular research have changed how scientists look at the effects of pollutants on human health, but laws on their use have not kept up.
There has been a revolution in the science of environmental health over the last several years, and we're now understanding that it's not simplistic. Things are very complicated. It's not any longer just the dose makes the poison. Right. These chemicals have effects at exquisitely low concentrations. There are endocrine and epigenetic considerations, multi-generational effects of these chemicals. And so our system of law is very outdated.
Miller says toxins pass to the fetus and infant through the placenta and later through breast milk at a vulnerable time as the brain grows to 80% of its adult size in the first 2 years of life.
Alaska infants have twice the incidence of birth defects than infants in the lower 48, and Alaska Native infants have even higher rates than white children in Alaska. So everywhere we go in Alaska, in rural communities, we hear concerns about cancer, and in particular childhood cancers, which seem to be on the rise in terms of incidence. And we're seeing cancers in children at younger and younger ages.
Exposure in the womb or during early childhood is even linked to chronic diseases in later life, such as high blood pressure, diabetes, and cancer. That's according to Carpenter, the environmental health professor. He's been studying pollutants on St. Lawrence Island, located 200 miles west of Nome.
It was really remarkable for us when we began to look at the people that live on St. Lawrence Island, which is about as remote a place as you can find. We find that they have levels in their blood and in their bodies that are comparable to those that people in the lower 48 that live in very contaminated waste sites that I've been studying for 30 years.
That's because pollution travels to Alaska from Asia and the lower 48. Chemicals that are airborne in warmer climates drop in the Arctic cold. Military waste on St. Lawrence Island is another source of pollutants, which end up stored in whale, seal, and walrus fat, traditional native foods, as well as in other animals in the Arctic. Miller says the cold also increases exposure to indoor pollution.
Our indoor environment is more insulated against the cold, less well ventilated, so children can be more highly exposed to chemicals that are accumulating in household dust that leach out of household products such as furniture and toys and electronics.
Miller says Alaska Community Action on Toxics is hosting a Children's Environmental Health Summit October 5th and 6th at Alaska Pacific University to bring together parents, teachers, scientists, the Native community, and healthcare professionals to share information and develop recommendations for policy changes. This is KNBA News. I'm Jacqueline Estes.